Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
New Scientist, 21st of March 2020, the most recent one. This one's about astronomy on page 15. Stellar flares could make Proxima B more habitable. So Proxima B is a sort of red dwarf star which is sort of thrown out the closest star to us. It has a little plate around it. Let's read about it by Abigail Beale. As it orbits the small red dwarf star Proxima Centauri, the nearest system to ours, an exoplanet called Proxima B is pummeled by nearly constant stellar flares and cosmic rays. Well, you know, obviously it doesn't have a protective magnetic field. Until now, it was thought these might be damaging to potential life, but new research suggests that flares could actually help make the planet more habitable. Marcus Schreier of the Technical University of Berlin in Germany and his colleagues modelled how energetic particles from stellar flares and cosmic rays would affect the temperature on Proxima B. I didn't think of that one. Because it orbits at such a small star, Proxima B only gets about 65% of the energy we receive from our Sun, despite orbiting 1/20th of the distance as we do. An otherwise likely too cold planet would actually experience habitable surface temperatures if it is actually Earth-like and its frequency bombarded by stellar energetic particles, says. Stellar flares, along with cosmic rays, batter the planet with hydrogen nuclei. This causes production of hydroxide in the atmosphere, which reacts with methane to create carbon dioxide and water. That process limits the methane in the atmosphere, which could otherwise absorb solar radiation and lead to anti-greenhouse effect, cooling the planet as it would be unable to heat from the star. So methane is unlike carbon dioxide, it can't flex. Carbon dioxide's got this large flex. Methane can sort of breathe in and out, but it can't sort of do very much side wobbles at infrared frequencies. This type of cooling happens in our old solar system. For example, Saturn's moon Titan has a methane-rich atmosphere where 90% of the energy from the Sun is absorbed in the upper atmosphere, so it doesn't reach the surface. This study provides a new way to think about the planets orbiting the active stars like Proxima Centauri. Red dwarfs are most common stars in the universe, making up 85% of those in the Milky Way. And many Earth-sized exoplanets discovered in recent years are orbiting them. Quote, this is good for planets such as Proxima Centauri B, but not necessarily for those closer to their star. This is Abel Mendez, University of Puerto Rico in Acabo. Yet, for those in the sweet spot, stellar flares might not be a bad thing after all. Quote, there are other possible good things about flares, said Mendez. For example, they might provide enough energy to create basic molecules necessary for the origin of life. A study in 2018 found that the UV light from stars could help form precursor RNA in a process called abiogenesis. Yet, detecting life on a planet that is 4 light-years away, like Proxima B, would be tricky. Still, it is possible life could adapt to these conditions, and any life in the exoplanet's potential oceans would be more protected. Life on Earth is thought to have been moved from the oceans to the land about 450 to 400 million years ago. This step might not be possible on planets around red dwarfs like Proxima Centauri due to the hostile surface environment maintained by the flares, says Mendez. If life is limited to the ocean, this might also exclude intelligent life capable of technology. For example, they wouldn't be able to make fire, he says. Well, oh dear God. When looking at wavelengths for light absorbed by molecules in the planet's atmosphere, methane and carbon dioxide by vast signs of water, making it potentially harder to detect life and signs of life, he says. Oh dear. AI nudges guests and staff to cut hotel energy use. Artificially intelligent eco assistant can persuade hotel guests and staff to reduce electricity used by up to a third. My Green Butler is a cloud-based system that monitors equipment connected to the internet and gives regular environmentally friendly tips, such as suggestions guests switch off air conditioning units at night, or recommending that they take a shorter shower. Via computers, tablet devices, or printouts, the system also advises staff to modify behaviors such as lowering the temperature in rooms when they are not in use. The more the system is used, the more tailored its recommendations become, allowing it to feedback on what actions have the most impact. Quote, encouraging people to follow suggestions is much easier than going up to them and saying, save the planet. This is Christopher Warren, founder of Green Butler. My Green Butler is based in Australia. The system has been trialled across 10 sites across UK, Australia and France, including Disney Paris properties. Last month, My Green Butler reported that the technology can lead to a 20% cuts in gas use and 33% decline in electricity use. Guests can choose whether they want to use the system. And it's been 5,000 people have opted in so far. Response to AI has been largely positive, with only one of the 10 trial sites reporting people opting out. Elaine Widman-Guldwell at the AI Sustainability Centre, a think tank in Sweden, says the hotel assistant, quote, shows great potential to be an environmental helper, but that caution is needed over data collection, storage and use. Mike Green Butler says it complies with the European Union's standard for data privacy regulations. The company does not sell. Shrinking Amazon. Area of deforestation. Oh my godfather. Deforestation, this is a weak law enforcement maybe behind the record deforestation levels. My God, that's just absolutely, it's four times as much. Deforestation in Amazon has continued to record, this is by Adam Vaughan, to record levels, disappearing faster than ever before. Under Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro, who encouraged the clearance of parts of the Amazon for development, the area of rainforest destroyed between August 2018 and 19 jumped nearly 50% to its highest level in a decade. With official data from Brazil's National Institute for Space Research, INPE, is in now for January and February, it's clear that there has not been no let up for the Amazon. 470 square kilometre area around the size of Andorra was lost in this period, up around 70% on a year ago. The figures are particularly troubling because this time of year the trees are relatively little loss as the rainforest is still in the rainy season. It's hard to set fires. Data shows a trend that it's likely that in 2020 we will see a continued increase in deforestation as the year progresses, especially as we move towards the dry season. When deforestation peaks, says Erica Berger of the University of Oxford. The area of forest lost is largely reported in January and February period since 2015, which is when the INPE introduced a more powerful high-resolution version of its satellite deforestation alert system called DETER. The trend indicated by DETER system is very worrying. It has been a continued rate of increase of deforestation in comparison to 1 year ago, says Carlos Noble, University of São Paulo, Brazil. The rate is even higher than it was at the beginning of 2016, when the Amazon was severely affected by a mega drought driven by the El Niño climate phenomenon. Deforestation tends to rise in times of drought. This time, the only likely explanation is that illegal loggers have been emboldened by the lack of law enforcement, says Noble. Quote, the increase in rates of deforestation cannot be explained by any climatic factor. It is likely to be due solely to the sense of impunity of environmental criminals. The law enforcement is very weak and absent. Preliminary data from DETER means officials' annual deforestation figure for 2020, counted from August 2019 to July 2020, is likely to eclipse those of last year, which saw the highest losses since 2008, says Beringer. Unless there is a strong governmental response to the increase in deforestation, 2020 is planning out to be even worse than 2019, she says. Type 1 diabetes may come from two different forms. There could be more kinds of type 1 diabetes than we thought. A finding might lead to changes in treatment. In type 1 diabetes, the immune system attacks the pancreatic cells that make sugar-regulating hormone insulin. The age someone is diagnosed with type 1 diabetes seems to be linked to the severity of the symptoms. Quote, a child diagnosed before the age of 5 is likely to have a more severe form of the disease than someone over 30, says Sarah Richardson of the University of Exeter, UK. To find out why, she and her colleagues looked at 32 pancreas samples of young people with the diabetes who died in the 1950s. They found two distinct categories. In the first, some pancreases didn't appear to make insulin properly and experienced stronger immune system attack. In the other, the samples contained fewer immune cells, and there were also signs that the pancreases were better at making insulin. The team then looked at the blood samples of 171 people who had been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes before they turned 30s, and found they seemed to fall into the same two categories. People whose type 1 diabetes involved poor insulin production and a stronger immune attack tended to be under the age of 7, while those diagnosed at 13 and up usually fell in the category of people whose pancreases contained fewer immune cells. Those aged between 7 and 12 were diagnosed could be either category. For now, the outcome, quote, the outcome is the same. Both need insulin, but they may not have got theirs through a different pathway, says Richardson. In future, she thinks these might be different, there might be different treatments. Okay. Solar system news. Early Mars may have had right conditions for RNA to start life. It is possible, by Michael Marshall, it is possible that life started on Mars millions of years ago in a certain region where conditions were unusually hospitable. If life ever existed on Mars, it's conceivable that it might have begun with RNA, which is similar to DNA that carries our genes. Many scientists suspect RNA played a key role in life beginning on Earth, and some even argue the first life was based solely on RNA. To see if this could be played out on Mars, Angel Maranjo, a Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and his colleagues simulated the early environment of Mars. Its current frigid climate allows for little water, but there is evidence that Mars had running water billions of years ago. Maranjo's team placed RNA-like molecules in water that contained dissolved metals and other chemicals. The solutions mimic the waters on early Mars, which would have contained metals leached out of the rocks and would have been altered by atmospheric chemistry. They tracked how long the molecules lasted before breaking apart. The RNA-like molecules were most stable in mild acidic water containing magnesium ions, which would be expected if the water were resting on basalt, a rock that forms in lava from volcanic cools. The author says that Martian life developing from RNA is plausible. Bustard and Broward University of Rhode Island says the results could be tested with caution because there's a very large uncertainty about what conditions were really like when the planet was young. Really trying to get it. Many cities in China, this AI forecasts harmful particles in Beijing. Many cities in China normally experience dangerous levels of PM2.5, the tiny particles that is linked to some of the worst effects of air pollution. Now it seems artificial intelligence could help us avoid the stuff. Air pollution forecasts are based on models that use maps and annual averages population air emission, the application of weather models, assumptions about the chemical reactions. These can't account for the foreseeable unforeseeable events, such as extra pollution from a traffic jam or an accidental chemical release. Bai Liai Lai at Loughborough University UK and her colleagues took a different approach to see whether AI could do a better job. They used machine learning to train a model to predict PM2.5 levels on 3 years' worth of data at Beijing close chosen due to the number of Chinese cities which have a 2.5 PM markers. Around 26,000 data points were used, including the average 2.5 readings, 4 solar-side pollution sensors, historical weather data. Lai says the resulting forecasts for the locations of the near these sensors were highly accurate, based on how closely they had matched the historical observation. 1 hour ahead, that doesn't seem to make sense. 1 hour ahead, they were 95% accurate, falling to 85% 6 hours ahead. Using the approach to help the researchers tease out which factors were most important in predicting the dirty air, sunlight, air pressure, and seasonal wind speed were found to be key. Wind blowing from the north to west is often indicates bad pollution episode is likely, perhaps due to the industrial facilities in the northwest of Beijing. Unlike most air quality forecasts, which usually warn the public of a single level of air pollution or their area, Lai's system provides a likely range of 2.5 parts per million or micron levels of to give an idea of the uncertainty. The model could be adapted to other cities affected by 2.5 such as Delhi, provided it was trained on local data, and developed a system to go into test the Shenzhen, China, using tested in Shenzhen pollution sensors. Quote, if we can warn off impending smog, then we can take steps to protect themselves. People can take steps to protect themselves, says Gary Fuller, King's College, London. He says the machine learning could be useful when data on pollution sources is lacking. Alert systems around the world, such as that on the run by the UK Metropolitan Office, rely on understanding air pollution sources in the city. Data-driven models, such as this example for Beijing, can be used with a knowledge of the local sources, sparse and uncertain. The coronavirus outbreak means the air pollution in China is currently down, as people are staying at home. Satellite analysis reveals that the levels of 2.5 PM in February 2020 were down by another 20-30% on their previous years. Oh, sorry. The coronavirus outbreak means the air pollution in China is currently down. I say. The separate study by the European Environmental Agency, EEA, last Thursday concluded that relatively low-cost air pollution sensors could be used by individuals and groups can, when used, will provide data meeting the same quality standards as required by official roadside monitors. The EEA said that such citizen science's initiative, quote, could, quote, help raise public awareness of air quality issues in communities and trigger behavioural changes to reduce emission. You can imagine this person's absolutely full of jargon. Thanks a lot for listening. That's lasted. I can't believe I'm feeling totally rooted and I've only read for 18 minutes. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.